Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band together on a Thursday. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing good over here.
Sun's shining. Yeah,
beautiful sunshine out there today.
Oh, it's so nice. It's hard not to smile with the sun this bright for this long, for this many days in a row. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. A good point.
Yes. Yeah. I'm finally enjoying it. I'm finally like letting my guard down a little bit and then just enjoying the weather. Yes.
I've already forgotten we had 2 months of gray.
Yes. Gray. Yes.
We sure did. And the only thing we have to battle is pretty much the high fire danger. So no bonfires.
Yes.
Don't do debris burning. I know it's going to be so hard this weekend with the beautiful temperatures, the sunny skies. You're going to want to clean up the yard and burn it. Do not do that. You have to wait until we at least get some more significant rainfall because anything is just sparking and spreading so rapidly. So that's the first thing we have to worry about for the weather. And then there's one more thing, which we already had overnight tonight, is that frost advisory. So we're going to look at another chance of widespread frost overnight tonight, falling to about 32 degrees. And then we just warm things up. That becomes no more worries as we go into the weekend. So highs today will hit the mid-60s. We spike to about 70 degrees tomorrow. We'll climb to the mid-70s on Saturday. And then we're going to tap 80 degrees both Sunday and Monday.
Not bad. Not bad at all. We'll take it. I'm sorry, you guys. Brittany, when this time of year and I hear the words frost mentioned, I'm brought back to when I was living in California and we're doing a TV show out there. We are behind in filming. And so every day, every second counted. And one day I'm getting ready. It was like a middle of the week and we're getting ready to go out. And we had to get there like at 6 or 7 in the morning to the courthouse to film. And we're getting ready to go and everything. And we get this email at the last second. Everything's canceled. Everything's shut down today. And why? Frost. There was frost on the roads, and Californians were scared to go driving or anything like that. And I thought this was just kind of something that people joked about. They were dead serious about this. Like, our vehicles are not built for this. We're not going on the roads. It was hilarious to me. I felt like I had Los Angeles to myself. Like, I just was walking around and checking things out and everything because nobody would do anything.
Okay.
Yeah, the Wisconsinites are out there in the apocalypse of frost. Like, what is it? We're fine, guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, fine. I'm sure we were in short sleeves, too. Let's be real.
Definitely.
People were panicking. Okay, so you're telling me if I lug all my plants back in the garage tonight, tonight's the last night. That's what I'm hearing from you? Or through the weekend, at least?
Yes. You're good for at least a week or two.
Okay,
There might be another chance one more time, but overall, we're winding it down.
Okay.
Always good news with you, Brittany. We appreciate you. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow. You have a great day.
You too, thanks.
Best in the business there, right? And now we got proof of it, too. Brittany's a 3-time winner at the WBAs recently and everything. I've been telling you for over a couple of years now she's the best. Now we got more and more proof of it.
No surprise.
No. We're going to get into some fun stuff today. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. Is May the worst month to be worst month of the year to be a parent? We'll get into that.
Really? Because you're dreading summer, the kids being home?
I'm curious. I have not pre-read that one. It is National Pet Week. We will get into half of dog owners and their meal ritual with their dog. And speaking of dogs, we're going to talk to our, at the kickoff, the 10 o'clock hour with our Pet of the Week in Southfield County Humane Society. We're looking forward to that. In the 10 o'clock hour, Terry and I will talk a little entertainment, local theater going on, our newsletter, all that. And I want to get into a couple of Mother's Day things with you. I've got some interesting stuff there with all of that coming up for you, everybody. Right now, we want to kick off talking a little United Way, get an update with how things are going over at the shop, Terry.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on right now. Couple of big things that are... of importance, but also some opportunities to engage with the community and through United Way. One, we are currently accepting registrations for Stuff the Desk. So if you are a family who receives free and reduced lunch, you qualify for free school supplies as well. So you do have to register online. You can find that registration by visiting our website, uwswac.org. We've also posted it a few times on our social media. If you do not have the ability to complete that online registration on your own, you can also call 211 between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday, and our resource specialist will walk you through the sign up. But we do have to gather information. We need names of kids. We need to know what grade, what school, so that they're for sure getting what they need. So that registration is open until August 1st. But I will tell you, you know, kind of once school lets out and summer gets here, things just get crazy. So we encourage people to go ahead and get registered in the month of May.
And registering early, you can also pick your time slot and get that taken care of.
Correct. So the pickup does happen on the third weekend of August. And this is an opportunity, yes, to pick your time slot when you would come through, pick up your supplies. We do the distribution at East Junior High in a drive-through sort of format. So the time slots are first come, first serve. So once one is full, it's full. And the reason we do that is because we don't want you to be in line in your car for 2.5 hours, right? Like, we want the line to just keep moving. So you, when you register, you pick out your time slot. We hand out backpacks on Friday afternoon and on Saturday morning. I'm trying to accommodate, you know, all. And then from there, you will receive, and you can actually see the list of what stuff the bus will provide to you for supplies. So you know which things that you're going to have to purchase, because, you know, the reality is we try to do our best to meet all of the expectations, but sometimes a teacher might have something unique to their classroom, or, you know, maybe we just don't have the capacity to do all of those things. But if you are willing to donate to Stuff the Bus, to donate supplies, we have a most needed list on our website, but we are looking for solid color, plain color, no designs, notebooks, folders. And we did, this year we're upping the amount that we're making sure that kids have, because we got some feedback, and feedback is important, right? That maybe, you know, I don't know, for a third grader, one folder and notebook wasn't enough. They'd like them to have three, or whatever the case would be. So we're hoping to fulfill all of those requests. But again, solid colors, notebooks, folders. I'm also looking for scissors. And so, you know, you can see that whole list. But if you are willing to donate, we will be collecting at Lunch by the River the first Thursday of August, which is August 7th. And that is an opportunity to bring your stuff. If you are a business or an organization that's listening and you're willing to be a public collection point from now, you know, up till that Lunch by the River day, please let us know. There is also an online sign up on our website for that, so that we can help promote your business and talk about that and get people to stop by. I know that DNL Recreation already signed on, so you can drop school supplies there with Lori. And so we appreciate them jumping in with us, and we will help promote, you know, any business that might be willing to be a public drop point.
Is there items that you, every year you've noticed, Terry, of the years doing this, that we really could use people to step up and help out with? We folders or markers or something that, you know, tends to get a little bit lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, so markers, colored pencils, folders, notebooks, scissors are kind of the big ones right now. We also take monetary donations because we last year served almost 950 students, and they all get a backpack. And so backpacks are expensive. We try to balance quality with quantity with the amount of dollars that we have. And the reality is we can't buy the very cheapest backpacks that are out there, because then they just don't last.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, they should take better care of them. But really think back.
Especially,
a fourth grade boy.
Yes,
they're pretty
absolutely.
Hard on, I'm not saying girls aren't, but I'm, you know, just.
No, we are.
But
we
like, were, they're just hard on backpacks, and that's the yeah. reality, and it's part of being a kid. Mm-hmm, it's just part of the deal. So, you know, we try to balance what is cost effective with backpacks, but there is a big cost with that. So, you know, sometimes people say, you know, I have no idea what supplies to get. You know, my grandkids are adults or whatever.
Right.
So we will take monetary donations to help us fill, you know, fill in those gaps as well, and to help with the backpack backpack, the large purchase of backpacks. So a lot of great stuff going on. And, you know, just shifting away from that, two other things happening in May that I just want to call out. We do kick off next Monday our diaper drive. So this is an opportunity to help, you know, the littlest members of our community where they have a need. So from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we are, again, this year holding a diaper drive. We will accept diapers, wipes, and then paste or creams, and all have to be unopened. So, you know, we can't take something that maybe is partially used. And I get that, the not wanting to throw it away, but we can only take unopened items. And if you're thinking about donating, the greatest need is actually the largest sizes. So like size 5 and 6 diapers versus newborns and ones. We will take anything. So I don't want to discourage if somebody's already shopped, but if you're like, oh, I could donate a box of diapers, bag of diapers, you know, that's where we have the greatest need, is in those upper sizes. Those diapers will get distributed in our community to Focus Food Pantry, to the Family Center, and to First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center. This is where members of our community are presenting and saying, you know, I need diapers. I'm short on diapers. I'm not, you know, I'm not able to provide as much as I would like, or at the level that maybe I should, for my child. So we are distributing this year in Southwick County and in Adams County, working with UW Extension in Adams to get those diapers distributed. So jump in with us. We would greatly appreciate that, that, you know, people would participate.
It's a big help, and it whether we're talking about this or stuff the desk, these are things that the opportunities for every one of us to impact our future and to help out a better and make our community that much stronger and better, and really unique ways of doing it too. It's a fun thing, and I encourage people to be a part of this. We'll talk more about it throughout the next couple of weeks as we're building into these and getting closer to stuff the desk and some of those, and certainly throughout the summer talking about this and United We Can and plenty of other great events and wonderful things going on with our United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties. Be sure to find out more and do us a favor, everybody. Spread the word about these events. We all know that as great as in as many media outlets as we have nowadays, word of mouth still goes so far. So if there's somebody you think you know, or just, you know, just spreading the word about United We Can or Stuff the Desk or something, and making sure that we get people registered that need it and get this information that need it. Spread it out there, let people know, and encourage them to check out the website, uwswac.org. UWSWAC.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. Great way to keep up to date on all the things they're doing. Share their posts on your page. Other people will see. Just never know who would see it. We'll take a time out. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. Go visit our friends at El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Treat yourself. Get on over there. Check out some of those great specials they have. Breakfast, a lunch, doesn't matter. You're going to enjoy whatever you get. And maybe if you just want to go over there, have a slice of pie and a beautiful atmosphere and a great cup of coffee. They got a billion different types of flavors over there, pie and different stuff to check out. So many things for you to enjoy. Check it all out and say hi to the gang over there for us at El Cafe. Wish them a good morning from all of us. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Info at WFHR.com is where you can email us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, or you can call right up and do it live on the air here. We love that. Call up 715-424-2600, or just call up through the Civic Media app. You can also text us through there. However you got to do it, smoke signals, Morse code, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. I played the Zeppelin Celebration to be our lead-in music for this, in part because it's perfect for this, but also for the very first birthday on the list. But before I get to that, Terry, I need a one or a two.
One.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. Somebody that can't qualify, but is definitely somebody that deserves a lot. A very happy birthday to my little brother, Nicholas Maloff.
Oh, happy birthday.
The greatest little brother you could ask for. Nick is, you know, every year on his birthday, I think back to when we first moved out here. We're living at my Nana Papa's house in Rome, and my parents, I'm in the basement playing video games or something, and my parents come down there, and they're all serious, and they say they want to sit me down, and like, Jimmy, we have to tell you something. Well, you got a little brother coming. And I... I don't know why, but I just remember being so dumbfounded by this and just blown away. And then immediately afterwards, thinking of all the things that I was going to get to do with this kid. And I have. And I didn't, of all the things I expected, all the things I've enjoyed and everything, I did not expect to consider that he would be one of my best friends, that he would be one of the closest friends I have in this world. And somebody that I respect more every day and really, really, really love just talking to. It's pretty cool when that's family, when you have that. And I'm fortunate. I'm spoiled with it. He's my backbeat. Nick always has been. And not to, for nothing, great father, great husband, all those things. Killing it right now with your Wisconsin Herd and working for the Wisconsin Herd, the Wisconsin Milwaukee Bucks AAA team. So he's working his tail off, and I'm proud of you, Nick. I'll talk to you a little bit later.
Happy birthday.
I hope I got all that right. He wrote all that down, and I thought he did a really nice job writing that. I thought, happy birthday.
He totally just turned his radio off, like,
yeah.
Rolling his eyes for the love.
Happy birthday to Shane Morris. Enjoy your day, Shane. Hope it's a good one for
you. Happy birthday, Shane.
And to our qualifier today, very happy birthday to Kim Young.
Happy birthday, Kim.
Enjoy the day, Kim. We're wishing you a good one. We encourage you to celebrate and brag about being our qualifier to everybody you know. Go ahead and do it. Who are you guys sharing your birthday with? What are these people? Who are these people you're sharing it with?
Who are these people?
Steve Amale, item 44. Green Arrow on the CW's Arrow. Enrique Iglesias is 50. Whoa. Son of Julio Iglesias. Had a couple of hits when we were in high school, I think, and stuff. Like, he was around for a little bit. Ooh, Melissa Gilbert is 61. Laura Ingalls Wilder on Little House on the Prairie. She grew up, she was married with Tim to Buster Poindexter for a while there.
Seriously?
Yeah. Whoa, I had no idea. I did not know that. Wow.
Really?
Yeah, didn't see that one coming. Huh. You can't mention Little House on the Prairie and not get a bunch of people just immediately being hit over the head with nostalgia.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's one of those shows.
I mean, largely because we only had three channels, so you couldn't. Yeah. I mean, I liked the show, but sometimes it felt like it was the only thing on.
One of the greatest, if not the argument could be made for the greatest safety of all time, Ronnie Lott is 66, San Francisco 49er legend. Focus on that offensive lot, and rightfully so, but man, that defense of the 49ers was stellar. And Ronnie Lott, it's a regular season game. He busts up his pinky. They tell him you can't go back out there with it like that. He tells him get rid of it. So Ronnie Lott is walking around right now with half a pinky just so he could finish a football game.
I mean,
man, oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. That's football. That's, oh, yeah. Alex Van Halen, 72. Eddie's older brother. He played the drums in Van Halen, of course. For those that don't know, I just love this story. Originally, he took guitar lessons, and his brother Eddie took drum lessons. Then Alex tried Eddie's drums and realized he was better at them than his brother and changed the course of music history. it's just so funny to me. So they're little kids, and they didn't have a lot growing up, but for their Christmas one year, you know, Alex gets the guitar, and Eddie gets a drum set of drums, and they're playing with him, and they're playing with him. But like all kids, like, well, I like what he has. Oh, I like what he has.
Yeah,
and it flips it, and here we are, where Alex Van Halen, incredible drummer, but Eddie Van Halen is one of the greatest guitar players of all time, complete game changer.
You know, maybe I'm just going to give some intuition to his parents or their parents, because maybe they just knew that, right? You know, like how kids do that. Like you said, you want what you don't have, and so then they. They flipped.
I will believe that the rest of my life. I love that. I wholeheartedly. I don't need any stories or facts or anything. I'm believing that. I think that's great. Philip Bailey is 74. Wonderful singer from Earth, Wind, and Fire. September, Boogie Wonderland, Let's Groove. A lot of big hits for him over the years. And Tony Tennille is 85 of Captain and Tennille. Love Will Keep Us Together. Muskrat Love. You have a hit named Muskrat Love. I mean.
Why?
I don't know what to do with that.
I mean,
that's something.
Yeah. We'll say they were maybe under the influence when they picked that.
There we go. I think that's fair. I'm not sure if he's knighted or not. If he isn't, he should be. David Attenborough is 99, British naturalist, responsible for so many great narrations and documentaries and everything. Planet Earth, Life, Frozen Planet. His brother Richard Attenborough is the original guy from Jurassic Park and everything.
Oh.
I kind of want to look that up, if David Attenborough's been knighted or not. He should be. Think about all the different documentaries and the things that he has done over the years and the work that he has done. I gotta say real quick, as a complete side note and everything, anybody that has not seen The Americas, the documentary on Peacock, it's like a 10-episode documentary. I don't do this very often, but I highly recommend. I almost feel like they should teach it in schools. Like, they should show it in schools. It was so good. At least 3 or 4 times during that, I'm sitting there watching something like, I had no idea of this, or I've never seen this. And then, like, at least 5 or 6 times during the whole thing, you hear Tom Hanks narrating, and like, and this is the first time this has ever been filmed, or we've never seen this before. It's really incredible.
When you brought this up another time when I was here, then I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out. And you can find it actually on Hulu, if you have Hulu. Yeah, yeah, that's where I was able to find it as well. And I think the episode that was on when I was watching was Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very interesting.
Yeah, it's just wild to me. Just so much that's going on that it had no idea. And I don't think it's a stretch. The work that David Attenborough and some of those guys were doing is a reason why you see this stuff now. And I don't. You're going to see more of this. In part because... streaming companies and movie company and TV companies are leaning more and more away from sitcom TV and looking for what is a safe bet and cheap, and that's reality TV, game shows, and documentaries. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of all of those things. I'm not saying that we're going to see more reality TV. I think that hit its heyday. Not that you're.
I won't be seeing it.
No, I haven't seen any of it, and it's not going away or anything. But I think you're going to see a big emphasis on documentaries and game shows going forward, with a lot of and pulling away from a lot of the sitcom TV. Interestingly, a lot of the traditional sitcom shows streaming services are doing and going that route with. So it's just flipping a little bit. Some people no longer with us, like the legend, one of the greatest comedians of all time, and the greatest insult comic. The reason we know what the term insult comic is the great Don Rickles. Also, Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies. But Don Rickles, I spent, up until the day that man passed in 2017, I spent my whole life as one of my goals in life, not only meeting Don Rickles, but having him insult me. It's the only person on this planet.
The privilege, right?
Yes, yes, the privilege, because Don Rickles was not, the reason he was the greatest insult comic was, one, he was so darn good at it, so quick, up until his last days, just right at the edge of his thoughts was always something that he could get you on. And I don't know how his brain worked like this, but he was so good at it. And every single show Don Rickles ever did, he would shred the audience, he would shred celebrities, all this, and end everyone, "I kid because I love. I kid because I love. I do this because I love." He was one of the most self-deprecating human beings of all time. He could take a joke. He could take a punch. We could use more Don Rickles in the world today.
No kidding.
We could use a lot more of Don Rickles. And not for nothing, too. One of the greatest entertainment stories of all time. If you know this one, I apologize, but I have to share it if you don't. Don Rickles is starting out. He's early on in his career, and he's opening up for the Rat Pack a lot. And he becomes very good friends with Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis. And God, what I wouldn't give to hear Sammy Davis and Don Rickles in a room together. So Don is good friends with Frank Sinatra, and he meets this girl he likes, a woman that would eventually be Don Rickles' wife for the rest of his life. They spent many, many years together. He wants to impress her. So what are you going to do? You're going to have the biggest celebrity in the world come to your table, and Frank Sinatra. So he asked Frank, "Hey, would you mind coming to the table when we got your drinks and everything?" And he's like, "Sure. Yeah, no problem. I'll come by. I'll say hi. It's not a big deal." And Don's like, thank you. So Don and his future wife are sitting there having, drinks. Frank Sinatra strolls over there. As he's about to say something, Don Rickles like, "Frank, do you mind? I'm trying to have a drink here. Please, get out of here. God, this guy won't leave me alone." Jeez. And Sinatra is dumbfounded. He's just like, and he doesn't know what to do. And he just walks away. It's better if you hear Sinatra tell the story. It's online. Look it up. But it's such a great story. And that is Don Rickles. That was Don Rickles. One of the greats. Sonny Liston, also born on this day, one of the greatest heavyweight fighters of all time. Harry Truman, our 33rd president. The buck stops here. And if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. A couple of famous phrases from Mr. Truman. All greats. And all of you are great. All of you celebrating birthdays with you are great out there. We appreciate you getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Keep getting us those. And celebrate with our good friends over at Misty's.
It happens.
Well, earlier...
I mean, it's your age.
It is definitely my age. but it's also... Earlier, I was thinking of referencing when I was talking about the pies that, you know, Misty and some of the former members over there at Misty's Menu are now at El Cafe. And you'll see some of that and get some of those.
For sure.
Say hi to some of them over there, too. Head on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Say hi and good morning to the gang for us. Stick around after our news, sports, and entertainment break. Terry and I are going to get into some fun. National Pet Week. And is May the worst month of the year to be a parent? we will discuss coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings at WFHR. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. A little bit later in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by our Pet of the Week from the Southland County Humane Society. Denise will be joining us. A big shout out to Milltown Coffee for sponsoring that. Has some entertainment news. We're going to talk Mother's Day. We'll get into a bunch of stuff. But this right here, speaking of moms, according to a new poll, the hardest time of the year for a lot of parents is actually right now, the lead up to summer. 35% said that the end of the school year is harder on them than back-to-school season is. Around 40% said the same about spring, fall, and winter break. It's partly thanks to all these summer plans that have to be made, stuff like sports, summer camp, summer vacation. The average parent starts feeling the end of school stress 28 days before the school year ends, so most parents are in it as we speak.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I don't know if it's... I don't know if the end of the school year is the hardest thing about being a parent.
But I mean,
there's definitely some stress with it, and especially if you're needing to secure childcare for summer and, you know, all of those kinds of things. It can be a lot.
As kind of a side to your point there, Terry, one of the things that frustrates me with media nowadays is I understand how much people are starving to get people to read articles and take in content and everything. So you use these flashy headlines and these flashy things, and this is the hardest thing in the world or whatever and stuff. But it wears down the viewer. And people get numb to that. And so if we actually do have an article that this is literally the hardest thing about being a parent, nobody's paying attention. So I hear you on that. I think that that's a good note. But I also, this is one of those things, too, that I think, especially as a parent, you're so close to it and you're so in the middle of it and everything that it's a little like you look over and all of a sudden your kid has gone like 2 feet up and everything. But you're seeing him every day, so you don't notice the height change right away. You're so close to this that I don't know how many parents would be able to even gauge this. Is you're too busy trying to be a parent,
right? For sure. Well, and especially for single parent households or households where both parents work, right? Like that makes a difference too with coordinating, especially if you want to keep your kids busy over summer. You know, if they have some opportunities to maybe be in some sports or organized activity or go to camp or, you know, and I think everyone's feel around that is different. Some people are like, oh, you know, let them just have summer. Let them just do nothing, right? Because of all the structure of school. And others are like, let's keep the structure all. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's just right. what works for you. But I think, you know, I was always one, my kids were busy, right? Like they were doing stuff. And if opportunities came along or, you know, if they wanted to go to camp or be in a sport. So there's definitely a coordination, piece that has to fall on somebody.
Yeah. Here's a question for you, for the audience. And you don't have to answer right now. You can think about it if you want. But when is the most fun time to be a parent? I think that's another end of this. I can't help my brain. But when they say, like, it's the worst time or whatever, well, what's the most fun time? What's the best time? When they're 18? I'm joking. Here's a breakdown of the average week for a parent this time of year. 22% of it spent working, 14% sleeping, 13% eating or preparing meals, 10% shuffling your kids around town, 9% making summer plans, and 8% is just left over to take time to maybe breathe.
it's just a season of life, right? I mean, I think it's good. But yeah, it probably is. It likely is a stressful time.
They say that summer might be the best time of year for kids, but not so much for parents. A third of parents polled said that they probably won't have a single stress-free day this summer. That's something to keep in mind with this stuff. Especially as we're talking more and more, not only about childcare and that, but activities for kids and things that, you know, kids have to do during the summer. And I think if I can tie this in, not a reach here or anything, when we talk about reading and keeping that up throughout the summer and everything, not only gives them something to do and some structure, but also, you know, it's fun and it's good for them as far as when the school year kicks back in.
And there is just something about the routine of the school year, right? So, I mean, I can see why summer can add a layer of stress for parents. You know, I think you just have to try and embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I've always felt like that. Like summer is like, okay, now we shift everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like we adjust our schedule. But it, you know, it's just part of the part of the deal.
If you are looking for something to do this summer, I highly recommend stopping by the studios over here and picking up one of these Rafters baseball pocket schedules and make some plans over at Winterfield this summer. It's going to be some great times at the ballpark. A lot of great, almost every game, every home game has something fun going on during it. And certainly during every home game, they got the in-inning games and stuff for kids. It's such a family-friendly atmosphere.
Well, and there's tons of activity going on in our community summer long. And you know, but sometimes I think that adds to the stress, right? Because kids hear about it, they want to do it, but the parents are like, well, I still have to work. I still have to do this. I still have to, you know, so sometimes I think that's where the stress comes in, is just trying to navigate all that. But there are lots of things in all varieties to do in this community over the summer. So, you know, embrace that.
There's so much to do. Imagine, Terry, if parents got the summer off too.
I mean,
That'd be pretty interesting, actually. I was saying it kind of jokingly, but as I was saying it out loud, I'm like, well, that doesn't seem like such a bad thing. Well, I did mention the Rafters because I wanted to find a segue to bring up their pocket schedules. We just got these this week. They're here at the studios. You come by, say hi to Pam, pick one up, make some plans for Winterfield this summer. It's going to be such a good time at the ballpark, not only with so many great events we have going on, like United Weekend with the United Way.
June 17th.
Mm-hmm. Make
plans
for
that day.
Military Mondays is back. So many great jersey specials they have. There's a lot of cool things. This new front office they have over there is young and hungry. And they got some fun, creative ideas over there.
Yeah, they've got some fun stuff. Sunday, Family Fun Day. Monday, mm-hmm. Military Monday, mm-hmm. like you said. Tuesday, Two for Tuesday. I think that one might be new.
Yeah.
Select concessions, buy one, get one free.
A lot of great stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Encourage you to support the Rafters like they support this community. Get on over there. Enjoy some baseball this summer, everybody. We'll take a quick time out. We're going to come back, and we're going to be talking about it being National Pet Week. Half of dog owners have a meal ritual for their pup. We'll get into that and some other stats on The Morning Show at WFHR. Terry's in with you. You know we got to do the 80s. We got to play some 80s bumpers here. We got some more bumpers coming up for you, Terry. Got some good ones on the way.
Really?
Yes, yes. Seth is hard at work at it.
Wow.
Yes. He was telling me all about it.
Did
this
mine
morning.
Make it in yet or not?
Not yet, not yet.
Rude.
Next time. We are looking forward to that. But we are looking forward to this segment here. We're going to take you to the top of the hour, get you ready for the 10 o'clock hour. I got to get used to saying that. The 10 o'clock hour, where we will, like we do every Thursday, have our Pet of the Week from the Southland County Humane Society. Denise is going to be joining us with our new furry friend. And we, of course, want to thank Milltown Coffee. Milltown Coffee sponsoring that, supporting that. Be sure to do the same, everybody. Buy local, support local. All the businesses that you hear with us or during high school sports or any of these things, these are all people investing in our community. We encourage you to do the same. Wanted to get into this one with you, Terry. National Pet Week. A poll for National Pet Week looked at how much we pamper our dogs, specifically at mealtime. And we don't just slop food into a bowl anymore. Almost half of dog owners, 44%, say that they have at least one mealtime, quote, ritual for their pup. And here are the top ways to make dinner time special for their dogs. Now, my dad and my fur brothers...
Does anyone make dinner time special for you?
No. I don't know if they ever have. So my dad and my fur brother Sam have this kind of like routine that they do. And Sam gets fed usually around 4:30 every day. So, of course, a little after 4, Sam is hounding my father.
Well,
you know, hey, tick, tick, old man, tick, tick. You know, my dad's like, no,
get up,
time.
Get up.
I can tell you, even if I'm not there, I can guarantee you what the sound in the house is. My father's saying, it ain't time yet, or something like that. But the ritual that... Sam really has, and I don't know where this came from, but I give him a walk, his last walk every night. He comes in and he gets these treats that he really likes. They happen to be, he doesn't know this, they're really good for his teeth. He just really likes them, but they're also really good for his teeth. He gets those, he finishes his treats, and then he finds his little, he's got a little lamb chop toy. Like the old lamb chop, the ventriloquist act. He has one of those, and he fights it. He fights it like it is a battle of will, like
but doesn't wreck it.
Heavyweight fight, nope.
Right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just fights it just all over the place, and I got to run over there, and he won't do it unless I'm over there petting him and telling him, "Good job, Sam. You got her. You got it, Sam." Like, it's so funny, and it's so good for them, these routines, because not only do they look forward to them, but it gives them something to keep their brains active. It's not just enough to keep their bodies active, but keeping a dog's brain active is just as important. So these kind of routines might seem a little silly, and maybe even sometimes they're a little more about the owner than the dog, but it all comes down to the right, to go back to the right place, I think. And kind of cool to see, I think, in some ways, this relationship that we're getting. You know, there is a lot of focus nowadays, and rightfully so, about the disconnecting that we have with each other and wanting more and more opportunities for us to connect to each other. But I don't worry about human beings and empathy that much, considering where that has gone down, the rise of loving of our animals and pets in the home and everything, and being a pet-friendly city and how vital that is, and so much of this, that has only risen. So I don't see that the empathy has to be just, you know, categorized. I think that empathy is empathy, and caring is caring, and we're seeing it still in human beings. I don't worry about people in that regard. I think that we, you know, maybe we could fine-tune some stuff here and there, but we still got a connecting to we're still connected to each other in many ways, I think. So almost half of dog owners do this. Let's look at some other stats. Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I held up. Do you have one of these rituals? I almost skated past that. I apologize, audience.
I think there's a lot of routine with Rex. You know, it's just those. I don't know that he has any lately, the poor thing. Like, so he gets fed in the morning and at night, and he just. We're like, hey, did anyone feed Rex supper? Like, we've been forgetting him lately, which isn't nice. Believe me, if you saw him, he's not wasting away. Right, so he's fine. He's not being neglected. But it is kind of funny. It's like, oh, well, no, I thought you fed him. But he doesn't he doesn't really remind us either. Mm. You know, sometimes, or it'll get to be like late, and then he does the whole like sulking kind of thing. Oh. Supper for you. Whoopsie.
Dogs are great at sulking. They're really good at that. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good morning. You're on the show. Hello. Oh, call back. Feel free to call back. 715-424-2600. We're looking forward to talking to you. Call right back. Otherwise, for now, we'll take a look at some of these stats. Here are the top ways we make dinner special for our dogs. Always putting dog food in a specific spot or a specific dish. 48% do that.
Wait, hold on. People feed their dog at different places?
Yeah, that's
weird. Aren't the dog bowls just where the dog bowls are?
Yeah, that seems. It almost feels like you're going out of your way to do that.
Okay, so I do have to tell you something funny, and some people will be like, oh my goodness. So our dining room table has chairs, but then one side is a bench. Mm-hmm. Okay, so our oldest daughter, that's her spot, is on the bench. Well, when Rex was little, she started letting him sit up on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally will sit next to her at dinner on the bench, like, oh, as awesome. If you would put a plate in front of her. But he doesn't like, well, everyone, I'm sure she must slip him some food once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't like reach on the table. He just like sits there, but it's hilarious. Like, he looks like, it reminds me of the dog poker table picture, because he literally just sits on that bench and he's just like watching what's going on. Now, she's not home a lot. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't sit up there if she's not there. But it is kind of funny. Like, that's his spot
that's awesome.
Next to her. And if her boyfriend's there, then he wiggles in between them. It's hilarious. That's his spot.
I was here first, man. adding an extra ingredient like chicken broth or meal topper to the meal. 38% do that. That's good. Hand mixing food to make it more appetizing. 30% do that one. Now, my dad that doesn't do anything too crazy, just regular dog food and everything, wet dog food, but he mashes it up. He mashes it up. And I didn't think anything of this until I started, you know, watching Sam on my own more when they're gone for the weekend or something like that. And he'll eat it, but he doesn't eat it with the gusto.
It slows him down a little bit.
Yes, it does.
Versus grabbing that clump.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just feed Rex dry dog food, so.
Mm-hmm. Saying a special word or phrase before feeding them. 22% of people do that one.
Is that like a prayer?
I guess. Yeah.
You bless a little mealtime blessing.
I love this. Sam, you can't eat yet. We gotta say our prayer first.
I mean, fair enough.
I got no problem with that. I do love the idea, though, of the dog being like, what are we doing? I don't understand
or
English.
Or like inching closer to the bowl.
Giving them a treat as an appetizer. 20% of people do that. That seems weird.
Yeah, we don't do that.
No. Especially because, again, like similar things that I've said today, giving them a treat every 5 seconds, they're going to stop having meaning, and they don't really do what you could really use treats for, which is kind of keeping them in line a little
bit. Sure, or motivation, right?
Motivation, yes, that's a good one too. Plating their meal as if you're preparing a gourmet dish. 16% of people do that.
Nope, goes in the bowl.
I mean, that is so about just if you're going to do this stuff, some of these things, just own it and it's about you. It's
for sure.
Don't pretend that, my dog loves it this way. The dog don't care. The dog does not care. The dog is like,
it
is there food
me
on
of
the
that
plate?
Fancy Feast cat commercial.
Yeah.
You know, where it's in like the little footed bowl. Where,
the billion dollar crystal and everything. Yes. Yeah. Like the cat don't care. The cat has no interest.
Well, that cat in the commercial does care.
Or maybe that one. Yeah. Maybe that specific one. Heating it up to a specific temperature. 15% of people will do that.
Really?
Wow.
Have you ever thought of heating your dog
food?
No.
I wouldn't even think that that'd be good for the food. Like, I don't
That's
know what
interesting.
Food that
I've
they're
never thought
on.
Of that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing table scraps.
Oh, then,
or, you know, or something
sure,
like that.
Sure, yeah.
I don't
you
know.
Get leftovers.
But even then?
I could see leftovers doing that with that.
Know.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would. Yeah, setting the because you don't want to make their the how sensitive their mouths are. I don't think you want to make anything too hot or anything like that.
Yeah, weird.
I hadn't even thought of that. So setting the table and sitting down with them to eat at the same time. 14% do that. Now my parents do this, but it's mainly because as soon as they sit down to eat, Sam's sitting right there just staring daggers at my dad. So if he's eating, my dad has like 5-10 minutes of eating without Sam just staring at it. Letting them choose their food by offering options to see what they got, what they go for. 12%.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. Teach their own.
I don't know. Okay.
I mean, I don't. I can't see a point in doing that, to be honest. I don't think that they, for one, dogs can't read. But also, I don't know that it really matters. It might actually aggravate them because this is just wasting time before dinner food is on the table.
I feel like it would have to be something with an aroma. You know, because we do dry dog food, but I'm just saying, like, if it was something that they could smell, and maybe they would go to one hand or the other hand, but the reality is, after they eat from hand A, they're going to go eat hand B. Like, right? I feel like they're going to eat whatever.
Well, and, you know, again, all this is, I'm never going to tell somebody how to take care of their dog or anything like that, but I feel like some of this stuff is, the energy would be better suited in other places, like taking your dog for a
on
walk.
On a walk, or playing with a toy or something,
and just owning that it's you know what it comes down to being a pet owner. It's about the animal. It's not about you. No matter what you're doing, it comes down to it should come down to the animal. Singing a song when you serve them dinner. 9% do this.
Okay, I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of just as a signal or a trigger that, okay, here comes the food kind of thing.
My father, my whole life, will turn anything into a song. And just this random weird little ditty or something like that that he can do. And I don't know this, but I guarantee you, with everything I am, that my father has a song that he sings before he feeds.
You know, when I go in the morning and like wake up, so our dog is kenneled at night, just overnight. And so when I go in to open his kennel in the morning, I always kind of... You know, I'm like, oh, good morning.
Yep.
You know, like I'm talking to him or whatever. So just don't do it with food. But
you almost can't help it.
It's part of wake up.
You know, yeah, it's part of it. And it's just kind of one of those things. I don't know if you could even really help doing.
Well, it's part of the companionship, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it. And using specific utensils to serve them their meal. 12% do this. What the what? What? Fido has a special fork he likes? Like, I don't know about that. I don't know.
I mean, if we fed wet food, and we don't, but if we did, I might just have dog spoons. Because,
Oh, well, that's
like,
okay,
I can't handle the smell. But if it actually means, like, you know, like feeding them.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Quirky.
But now, what you're saying there, I hear you. My parents have a certain plate that's for Sam.
You know, like a serving spoon or whatever.
The mashing my dad does, there's a fork that he uses for that. So it doesn't go in with all the other forks and I don't use it. You know,
You know what I mean?
There is special. Yeah, so there is special uses for them and everything. And they are a very separate place.
As we're talking about this, I just keep smelling canned cat food.
There are a few things I can't stand more than cat or dog food. The smell.
And I know a lot of people use it and feed it, and that's fine. I mean, that's all good, but I just...
I'm lucky I don't have the greatest sniffer, so I usually can't smell that stuff.
I don't
anyway.
Know. I just can't. Ugh.
So again, 9% will sing a song to their dog when they're feeding them dinner. 9% will dance with their dog. 21% said their dog does a little dance itself when it's time to eat.
Cute.
There is not much better than a dog wagging its tail.
I mean, a dancing dog.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. And dancing with your dog is fun. That's always great. Last stat, and it shows how our dogs are the ones training us. 70% of owners say that if they're even a minute late for dinner, their dog lets them know about it. And again, like my fur brother Sam, he's way ahead of this. Sam is going to make darn sure that you're not late for your appointment.
You know, a friend of mine, her dog wakes her up at 4:30 in the morning to get fed. I'm like, there is no way I would be feeding that dog. I'd be like, go back to sleep.
No,
I don't get up till 5:30.
I never had this with a dog, but my ex, she had a cat, and she would wake me up almost every morning. And sometimes it was pawing you, and I'm like, oh, what the, you know, that. But other times, she'd just be staring at you. So you just wake up.
That's fabulous, actually.
And she's a beautiful cat, but a big one. And she's just there looking at you like you're late. You're late. Like you have one job. It's to feed me, and you haven't done it yet.
But you know what? Not at 4:30 in the morning.
No. Well, this was like at 5 in the morning, and it's kind of funny now that I'm thinking about it, because this is right like a year or two before I started doing the morning show here, and I was getting up at 6 or 5 in the morning anyway.
You were trained.
I was trained.
See?
This cat knew ahead of me.
I mean.
Wow. Never thought of that. Never
premonition.
Thought of that. That cat was way ahead of the game on that one.
That cat was trying to get rid of you.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. There's some great local things going on in our area, and one of them is happening today. I wanted to take time to touch about Renaissance by Renee's. Wisconsin Rapids is pleased to announce a special event featuring Wisconsin author Mike O'Connor. He's going to present his book Badger Aces this morning, and just actually a couple minutes from now he's going to get going at 10 a.m. over at 1500 Pepper Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. This is over at the Assisted Living Center over there, Renee's. Badger Aces, for those that don't know, highlights the remarkable stories of Wisconsin World War II fighter pilots who earned this prestigious title of ACE, a designation given to pilots who successfully shot down 5 or more enemy aircraft during combat. It's going to be great to hear Mike talk about this book, be able to really get in depth with it, and not only fun and interesting, but I would say an integral part of our history, our U.S.
Absolutely.
History. Wonderful. No reason not to take this in if you got the time today, everybody. They're going to have light refreshments served. Admission is free. Encourage you to check this out. Again, it's kicking off in just minutes from now. Badger Aces, Mike O'Connor, Wisconsin author, going to be over at Renaissance by Renee's at 1500 Pepper Avenue to be reading about his book and talking about this. Check that out, everybody. Be sure to head on over there. When it comes to things like this, it's all the more what we encourage you to get to us and let us know so we can talk about it on the airwaves and get it out there. It's a major part of what we do around here, and a major part of our job is covering local, supporting local. So hit us up with more and more of these events, everybody. We know that there's a ton of stuff going on in the area that we cover, and then there's always those things that we might miss. We've got a small staff, but a hardworking one. Things slip through the cracks. So reach out to us. Let us know. You can always hit me up at james.mailup@civicmedia.us, or you can direct message us on our Facebook pages as well, if that is an easier way to get a hold of us. Just like with your birthdays or anniversaries or your song requests or, the Simpsons in a stat that you want to share with me or something like that. Important stuff, Terry. Important stuff.
Want to bring him a pacifier?
Please. All of these things. We're always looking forward to talk with you and hanging out with you and getting those kind of things out there on the airwaves. Remind everybody as well to stop on down here at the studio, say hi, and pick up one of these Wisconsin Rapids Rafters 2025 pocket schedules. Get one of those and make plans to meet us at Winterfield. We'll be back with our Pet of the Week from the Southland County Humane Society right here at the Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the